Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. No, I see a scrotum, a mathematical scrotum. Oh, wait, there we go.
Well, he's still here in spirit, you see.
We're all here, I think.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, Riyadh's probably walking back over to his other setup, I'm guessing.
With what's hot the tip in that setup?
Well, we're back with another episode of Full of Sound and Fury Podcast.
Oh, shit, yeah!
I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. Follow me at risingproductions.tumblr.com. With me, I got a full complement of utter badasses with me tonight.
Oh, well, hell yeah.
Back. Haven't seen him lately, but he's none the worse to wear. From Austin, Texas, Ariel Rodriguez.
I have returned.
There we go. There was the sign I was looking for. Also, from deep in the heart of Texas, a man of an unimaginable ameritude, Keyshawn Xavier.
Oh, hell yeah.
Last, but most caffeinated, from Stanford, California. And I hope to God his audio is working, because I haven't heard him say anything in about 5 minutes. Riyadh Wabi. Maybe he'll join me later.
Maybe.
Well, he'll join us later. Keyshawn.
Yeah!
Was PAX South 2016 awesome or life-changing?
It was awesome. That was a good time to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I made somebody from Mexico want to move to Texas for the first time.
Explain.
There was a post on Reddit where they were talking about the best things at PAX South 2016, and this guy wrote this soliloquy about what happened at the Pitch and Game panel, and about he'd never wanted to be an American before, but now he did. And I thought, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was the takeaway from that diatribe.
Holy shit.
Oh, I don't even know how to intro this, but we have to talk about it.
No, I really have no idea how to. I think you start with the night before. I hope you smell alcohol. I guess we can tell Ariel. We really haven't gotten to regale Ariel with the story, right?
I mean,
no, I don't believe so.
I picked up bits and pieces from various social media posts about it.
Well, apparently we had a huge epiphany of a game pitch on Friday night, of which I remembered very little. I woke up the next day thinking that we had a great idea, but it was gone.
And then you saw the Whataburger wrapper next to you.
No. We didn't have the.
Then I remembered he wrote it down on his phone because he knew he was going to forget it.
Okay.
And it was true. It was true.
I was smart in my stupidity. So anyway, from what I remember of Friday night, we didn't have any ideas other than Mike the Room Trolls. He finally decided he was going to pull the trigger on Smegma Man.
Oh, wow.
And he's been talking
indeed
about that for years.
And also true.
What I remember is that the conversation circled around to work. And we got to talking about our jobs and how things are going. And then I started talking about a particular part of my work. And it led to an idea of like, hey, I could just be the most redneck East Texan I possibly can. Go with your strong suit. And I can really pull that off. And so I don't remember much after that thought. But the next morning we had Comedy Gold scribbled down in my Evernote.
I have returned.
There we go. Welcome back, Riyadh Wabi.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, what's up? What's up? Sorry about that. I was making some coffee, making room for some coffee. Didn't figure that needed to be on the podcast, so here I am.
No. It's great. I introduced you and you weren't there. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, Keyshawn was catching us up on his triumph at PAX South.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, tell us more. Oh yes, the.
I wasn't drunk, so I'm gonna go back to Chapter Zero.
Yeah, do that.
And see if that helps, and then you can corroborate what you can remember.
That sounds good.
Wait, were you drunk when you pitched this, Keyshawn?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I couldn't get drunk again for a while after that night.
That's also part of the story.
Aha, yes, I see. I saw a whole bunch of phone calls and text messages come in on the old phone that night. I could not answer because I was
did get drunk dialed.
Yeah, I did many times. I was finishing a paper and then I was out at a bar celebrating having finished the paper. So it was hard to you know. Yeah, anyway, go on. Please. Story time.
So I have to fly in now for PAX South. Come to discover that we don't actually have a place to stay the night before.
What the fuck?
What?
This is what happens when you let Mike land things.
That's right.
Oh my god. Yeah. Well.
But it's okay. We found a really nice rate on Hotwire. So in fact, it was a little too good. We were like, are we going to have our kidneys when we wake up? Good.
I mean, San Antonio is pretty close to Mexico.
I'm saying, man.
I'm not saying that in Mexico they, you know, steal your, but that's where you end up after they steal your organs. I wasn't being
right.
That was just
right.
In a bathtub of ice. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, the ice is what we call a courtesy.
Yes.
You don't have to have that, but it does help.
Oh yeah,
the
they're
swelling.
Not barbarians or anything. They take care of you.
Yeah, yeah.
They set you back
sure.
up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But no, it was actually just we just got a really good rate. That was nice. The drive down wasn't too bad. Your guys' gasoline is crazy cheap right now.
Yep.
Not that it's not cheap up here, but my god.
Wait, what is cheap? Because I today, so I can tell you what it is here, and it's not super cheap.
$1.60.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy shit! The cheapest here is like $2.85 or something.
God damn.
Ameritude.
Mine's down to $1.69. I'm in Washington.
Woo! Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
$1.60 in Austin, really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's seriously cheap. God damn, that's like.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Cheap.
It's gone up.
Yeah, clearly.
Fucking communists making our gas prices go up.
Well, actually, it's OPEC falling apart and the Iran deal. But anyways.
Back to
so
the
yeah, I got there with kidneys intact. And on Friday night, we went down to Maria Mia. Famous non-sponsor of Full of Sound Theory podcast for some arm-sized burritos and margaritas. And we spent an hour coming out with terrible fucking ideas.
And tequila shots.
Yes, that was the capper.
Yeah.
But we did eventually come up on, like, you know what, we're just going to pitch a redneck game. And Keyshawn, you have to go to your place. You got to go back to 12th grade. You got to be that guy again.
That was never
perform.
Me. this was an aggregation of all of them.
Yeah.
Just take the worst from all of them and compile it together.
Yeah, we were there. We were there an hour with nothing, and then we came up with the premise, and we started polishing the hell out of it as we do because we take this thing way too seriously. So, but at hour two, we still did not have a title. And as you guys, you know, being veterans of Pitch a Game, the title's half of it,
yeah,
at least. And then Mike, he made up for it. He comes up with Ameritude, Part I.
Yeah.
Which hell really yeah. brought it together.
Yeah.
Just like the rug.
But yeah, we put another hour into it. I mean. I think the name of the dog companion we came up with went through six iterations.
Oh, easily. I think we spent.
And what was the final name of the dog?
Colonel Travis.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Love it.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And which I still contend is funny, but horrible.
Yeah, it's definitely horrible.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that might have been something of a disadvantage in the actual.
No, it was, and that was the thing, and that was what a lot of the polishing was. Was like, okay, we
you
know
have to
this crowd.
You have to walk the line without you know going over, right?
Without going full Trump, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like otherwise,
that was a trick.
Yes,
that was yeah. The real trick to the whole thing was because there were folks that were going full Trump and full anti-Trump. And those folks were getting kicked right out. Just they didn't get another word out. They were booted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we had to get the title, and then we had to make sure we – it had to be clear that we were mocking it, not endorsing it.
Yeah.
For
me, the real trick, at least the following morning when I woke up and read this thing, was that, you know, we make a joke right off about the bat about, like, dear God, Hillary Clinton's president of the United States, and it's a post-apocalyptic setting. And right there, it's like, you better be quick and move to something funny to make sure they know. Otherwise, you're going to get cut right there and get kicked out. That was my fear.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we had our stupidest gag set right up at the front. I don't know. I think it was the stupidest gag.
No, it was actually brilliant. You proved that it was a joke.
Exactly. It was a Mel Brooks gag, though. It was totally just where we said deep in the heart of Texas, and then the gang all sitting out in the crowd did the clap when you say deep in the heart of Texas.
That's true, but
– nice.
This is the part where this was really epic was the 12th man factor. Like a lot of people independent in the crowd picked up on it and ran with it also.
Yeah.
Like I really wish this thing was on video because I'm having a tough time remembering what actually happened and what was, you know, just fake absurd in my head, but there was at the conclusion of it in round two, there was a spontaneous chant of USA, USA from the fucking crowd.
That's amazing.
Sean, remind me, I have a memory that Kate Welch got up and saluted you at some point. Did that actually happen, or am I just like losing my mind?
Look, I never made eye contact with anyone
both?
That shit. Because there's no way I could look up and stay in character with that. No way could I do that as a human being, an adult human being, to be able to pull that off and look someone in the eye at the same time. No, I'm not that good an actor. I had to, and that was one of the saving graces. I think it was Mike who was really pushing hard for me to go and pick up you see, we wrote it down in Evernote, but yep. Mike was pushing really hard that day. Tony, Keyshawn, you got to go get a Whataburger bag. And right
oh, so it was. Oh,
oh my God! I'm glad that I could tell that from the
photo.
Yeah, so I walked over to Whataburger before we got into one of our D&D sessions and picked up the bag. And of course, there's like 50 people in line. I just walked up to the front and asked for a bag, and got the bag. And then while we're playing D&D, I just transcribed everything. And then the part I added to it that I remember is that I crinkled it up and put it in my pocket. And so when I got up to the mic, you know, the first thing is the mic, and then you kind of have that confused redneck that's like, hang on just a second, and fiddle in your pocket for a little bit to fish out this crinkled up bag, and then I hold it out like a proclamation in front of me so I can read it. And then the first thing I read on it is, howdy.
Which I still contend was key. It immediately established, okay, this is a fucking bit.
Oh, I guess we should have said it started off very strong. The panel started off really strong. They had like 9 in a row, all yeses. Just yes after yes after yes. And they were all good ones. And it got to me and I'm just like, please, please let me get to the first gag. Please let me get to the first gag. And did. And the response was so good that they didn't hear the full title when I said the title. As soon as I got the words Emeritude out, the crowd was roaring.
Yeah. And he had already won. He had already won in round one.
Yeah, they were already cut. Okay. So, I'm not going to go through the whole story of what it was, but
I kind of feel like we should, since it's not out there. But no, you're absolutely right. As Straub said it, we're off to a white hot start.
Yeah,
it was very clear there was like six or seven other groups that, like us, like really, this is like one of the things at PAX they really prep for. Let me give a quick shout out to the Mortal Kombat guys.
Yes. Oh.
Mortal.
Who in a normal panel would have at least placed. These guys could not even get on like on the like you know the podium for a prize.
Repeat. Mortal Kombat.
You
Mortal.
Heard it correctly.
Mortal Kombat. Okay.
Yeah. That's hilarious. They had like a whole rehearsed spiel. It was amazing.
It was spectacular. And what really sold it for me with those guys. You know, they were bouncing back and forth with their pitch, which was really good. But the best part of it was how the number two guy – there was one guy that was really driving the pitch. And the number two guy was just the absolute – you know when you're watching a rap video and there's always that guy standing next to him that's the hype guy that's just doing exactly what you want your hype guy doing?
Wait, does it have to be a rap video? Could it instead be the dude in the suit who dances in front of the ska band? Because
no, that's never good.
I'm sorry.
You're wrong.
I'm going ska band. Sorry.
Not
ska
at all. Band.
In my head, ska band. Ska band dancer.
God.
I can hear the trombone now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sad trombone.
He's still right, dancing in my head.
Well, what were you saying? Yeah, well, like mango?
Can't turn away from mango. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Also,
for the Mortal Kombat gentlemen were perfect. They had their hype man, as in a rap or perhaps ska video, and go on, please continue from there. So we're at ska video or rap video, whichever you prefer, but ska video. Now go on.
So
they crush it. Then they're last year's returning champion,
The Kid. Dark
Cloud, comes back with Werewolf Trucker.
Nice.
Which was actually pretty fucking funny.
It really was. You're a werewolf. And you're trying to hide it from your company, and you work for a trucking company, and so you've been taking off for vacation all year, but now it's December and you're run out of vacation, and the problem is your company hates werewolves.
Of course they do.
and they asked him, well, what's the name of it? And he said, Werewolf Trucking Company.
Well, to me, the brilliant part of it was not – of all the things he was worried about, is like, all right, so the purpose of the game is you have to get more vacation days.
Yeah.
You don't have to cure your horrible lycanthropy. You don't have to, like, hide the fact that you're a werewolf. You got to figure out a way to get more PTO.
You know, look, this kid already has it figured out, right? Like, you accept – what you have in life, and just get vacation.
That kid's got talent. Yeah. He's got lots.
He's got upper management written all over him.
Oh my God! All of
he
us
can have up to two people
3 hours. He's
directly.
Sitting at home
directly.
Doing homework and cranking out these ideas. Yeah. I want to hear.
He didn't have tequila. I guarantee it.
No, imagine what he could do with some liquor in that kid.
I don't know if anyone who's ever said that phrase has had something good happen as a result.
Oh. There's a good title.
What? Get some liquor in that kid?
No, imagine.
Imagine
what that kid could do.
It's like the opposite of the sci-fi network. Instead of imagine greater, imagine drunker.
Oh, imagine. Nice. Now I think we have a title. So speaking of imagining drunker, I've been watching the, at this point, somewhat old, but still quite good show from Showtime, Californication, the David Duchovny show.
Yeah.
Like 2007, 2008-ish it started coming out. Quite good. This was one that I missed. And I've really been enjoying it. Have any of you watched it?
Not for me. No.
I have seen 10 minutes of the pilot.
I see. I think it's actually like it's nice. It's fun. It's funny. It's well written. The acting is good. Like it's all around a pretty fun, decent show. Like I'd recommend it. I think it's a. I mean, look, I'm only through about a season and a half, so maybe it goes to shit because it's 7 seasons long. So that's an entirely possible thing. But yeah, it's pretty good.
I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty funny. So.
Yeah.
That's I don't know. I've been meaning to start other shows too, but you know that doesn't really happen so much. What with the work and all.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So y'all were talking about. I heard that Keyshawn went and saw Deadpool. I know a few other people who went and saw it and thought it was amazing and just hilarious and like actually well executed and. You know, people were glad they went after that hard R. So, you know, I don't want to rehash the portion of it where Keyshawn gushes about it, but do you think that this will influence the studios to start doing more of that? Like, have they made money from it, or is it just like...
Oh, yeah. It had the number one weekend last weekend, and I think it's going to be number one this weekend again or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it knocked 50 Shades of Grey from its lofty perch of the greatest Valentine's Day weekend movie of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, like the biggest February opening or something like that.
Yeah.
Since 2015.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they did – I saw it too. They really did justice to the character, I feel. And I read somewhere that the next Wolverine movie, they're looking to make it rated R as a result of this.
That. That'll be interesting. You know, that Wolverine is a character that could benefit from a little extra violence.
This is interesting. I'm getting an email from Dave Goyer. He's saying, hey, fuckheads, remember Blade in 1998?
Yeah.
That was also R-rated.
Yeah, I saw that movie Dave again Goyer. 2 or 3 weeks ago.
That was a good movie. I enjoyed Blade immensely.
It holds up.
Yeah, it really does. I watched it not that long ago.
Yeah.
Now we just have to rescue Wesley Snipes from jail and make another one.
He's already done.
No, he's out. I know, but they wanted it to be dramatic.
They want to make a new Blade. There was all this talk about making a new Blade where you have like the daughter of Blade takes the mantle or something, and it's part of the cinematic universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Just use Wesley Snipes, motherfucker. If he's breathing, he's Blade.
There have been negotiations to bring him into the MCU.
Yeah, that was what I understood, but it would be more of like a senior role, you know, passing the torch and whatnot.
But
okay, right? Like we would be. I think that would be fine. It would be nice to have like one more movie with him, and then they could pass.
I think it'd be excellent. I think it'd be excellent. I would love to see that.
They can get Whistler in there. Was that his name, Whistler?
Yeah.
Nice.
Is he still alive?
Dead. I think as of the third one.
Chris Christopherson died.
No, character.
The actor's alive, but the character died.
No. His brother hired him to be the defensive coordinator of the Bills. He's alive. He's fine.
Now,
he's gained some weight.
He's just not good anymore.
So we just had an amazing Deadpool that's set in the X-Men universe, and there's an X-Men movie that just happens to be coming out this summer.
Yep.
So how are they going to digitally incorporate Deadpool into this movie as fast as they can in 2 months?
They won't. I think they'll just keep him in his own rated R little cesspool off to the side.
Pocket universe, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that they ought to have Deadpool just show up and issue in a PG-13 movie, you can have one utterance of the word fuck. I think that Deadpool
should. That is an actual rule.
Yeah. And he can pop
God damn it, America.
That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, I mean, his only role.
Look at all the fucks we give. Oh, wait, we're out. That's it. Just one.
Put him in there. One fuck. Give it. And then go away. And I won't spoil it, but Stan Lee's cameo is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was the raciest cameo Stan Lee's ever done.
I was so happy.
I'm like, wow, the old man is okay with that. That's cool.
Damn straight. It was awesome.
It really felt like you want to see what a rated R Marvel film is like. This is more or less what it is. Like they did a good job of porting it over to that style of film.
I can't believe it's a Fox film. It felt like a Marvel film.
Yeah, with Colossus running around, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's really high praise, actually, in my head.
What?
That's high praise to me.
Because you hate the Fox.
Marvel's quality control has been outstanding.
It was all over this one.
Fox has been on a normal studio, hits and misses, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember a hit.
The first X-Men.
X-Men, X2.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, X3 kind of made me forget those first two. You're right.
Also fair. Hey, but like the more recent X-Men, some of them were decent, right? Days of Future Past had its moments.
First Class, I thought, had its moments as well.
See, that's one that I've still not seen, but everyone says it's good. I should be hiding my head in shame. But...
No. They're no shame, but they are good. I'm going to caution you. I would not describe them as great. But,
they're fine.
I would second that.
Yeah.
I think Deadpool was great.
Will Twitter agree with you?
I felt like some of the jokes felt a little flat for me. I mean, the same raunchy like tropes like get a little tired for me as a personally.
I like how you're about to say as an adult, and then stopped yourself. Such a gentleman, I love it.
But the. The action was cool, and I mean, I think the villain was a little. I mean, you can tell what they had to kind of scrimp on to save on budget, and how they combined certain characters and stuff like that. But I mean, overall, I thought it was good.
The intro to the movie.
Oh, that was the best action scene in the whole movie.
No. I mean, before when it was I don't want to spoil.
Oh, the pizza guy thing.
The first shot. Where they're going through the
oh yeah, that was great. That was hilarious. Yeah, that's part of the first action sequence. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah. It was brilliant. I mean, that was like good movie making.
You can tell at that right from the beginning they don't take themselves seriously at all. Like they know what they're doing. And that's a good tone.
It set the tone, and if you can have in your first shot setting the tone of the whole movie in your first shot, and that boy did they do it.
I agree. Yeah.
Nice.
That was the stuff that really made me go like, all right, this is above and beyond. This is a good level stuff.
Right on.
All right. So you're endorsing it.
Oh, yes. Two chimichangas.
Two, shit.
Maximum effort.
Yes.
Those chimichangas. All right.
I haven't even read a lot of Deadpool.
Yeah, well, you know.
You're an adult.
Well, I read it when
there's only one person on this podcast who's read a lot of Deadpool.
I don't know. Where do you go for the quintessential Deadpool?
Right.
Don't you speak the unholy name? Don't go there.
I'm gonna take the fifth on this.
I love him, but you know. I believe the serious answer, quote unquote, is Joe Kelly's run, right?
Yeah. Really? Okay.
I don't know.
Is that in a hardback, or do you just say I want the Joe Kelly run and go?
That's a great question. Comic books are really perplexing to me as how they collect them anymore.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't have an omnibus that just came out with the movie. Like, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they probably should have timed it that way. If it had been a Marvel Studios movie, they probably would have. But
well, last decade, Marvel used to have those, you know, such and such visionaries. I'm having a tough time envisioning on the shelf Deadpool visionaries, Joe Kelly.
All right.
If someone tells me that's not actually a thing. But I think Joe's run is pretty well received.
And there are a few X-Force runs that have Deadpool.
Oh yeah.
Good effect, I feel.
Yeah. The post-credit scene was great. I won't spoil that either.
Yeah.
So how many more times since the last time we talked have y'all seen Star Wars?
once, I think, for me, just one more time.
Once for me as well. I went and saw it on the at the Cinerama's Holy Crap screen with the Dolby Atmos.
Oh, you did?
Hells yeah.
Oh, was it everything you thought it'd be?
Man, if Paul Allen was here, I would jerk him off immediately. As a thank you.
Wow.
That's dedication. I guess I'm gonna have to go see that too.
Oh.
Don't watch me and Paul. That's not cool.
Yeah.
No, it's a good movie.
Nice.
Yeah. Did not see Kylo Ren becoming this year's geek girl fantasy though.
Oh, what? Of course you did. He's
really
brooding.
No, you're absolutely right. But I just didn't pick up on that. I was too busy like being entertained with the film, I guess. But yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like Kylo is so dreamy, and there's a lot of Poe and Finn slash fic.
Oh yeah.
That's horrible.
Listen, they're 14-year-old girls, man. What do you want from them?
Let them
as
have
long
it.
As they're not getting pregnant, I'm happy.
Better than Twilight. Let them have it.
Very
that is true. I feel like that should be a T-shirt. Emblazon that, like right under the golden rule.
It's kind of sad that our Team Jacob, Team Edward shirts never materialized. But now it's obviously too late. But as you'll remember, we had Team Jacob, the gentleman from Lost, and Team Edward, Admiral Huevos.
Yeah, well, yeah. Joel Watson made quite a penny off that one.
Oh, really? He made that? I didn't know that.
He made Team Edward.
That's
with Huevos. Nice.
All right. Well, then I'm glad that existed in the world.
Yeah,
that's all I care about. I had that T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Oh, did you really?
That was a great T-shirt.
Riyadh, Super Bowl 50 is in the books. Give me a recap.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Well, it turns out that there is room on the field for one walker, just one. As long as it's in the Denver backfield. And as long as the Denver defense plays out of its mind. So
yeah, they played pretty well.
They played real good. That was impressive. I honestly thought that Carolina was just going to roll. I did not expect it to be much of a game at all. And it turns out I was extremely wrong. So, I don't know what to say. Like, there was Carolina probably could have had a better game plan offensively.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
And Carolina's D was, I don't know. I guess I expected them to look better against Peyton than they actually did. But
they shut him down. Most of the Denver scores came off of Denver getting turnovers. I'm with you, and I was curious to see if it was just me, but I think that was far and away the worst game plan I saw from Mike Shula all year long.
Yeah, I really don't understand what they were doing. Like, in the first half, sort of maybe early in the second quarter, late in the first quarter, I'm not sure exactly where in there, they started having some success because they had Cam, like, using his legs. They had him sort of moving around, keeping the defense from getting too brave. They went away from that, and immediately the defense was just smothering. So like, it seems to me like they had just they tied one of their own arms behind their backs.
Yeah, they did not establish the run with him or Stewart. And yeah, it seems like there was yards to be had in the middle of that field, and Carolina, for whatever reason, did not pursue them.
Yeah, they played kind of like they were going to have to, I don't know, keep up with Denver the whole time or something, and it really shouldn't have been that way. Like, that's not a race car you have to really push to keep up with,
that's,
right?
That's someone who hasn't been watching that particular shopping cart go down the aisle over the last week.
Yeah, right? Guys, let's – yeah, I don't know. I'll admit that I was pretty damn disappointed that the Pats were not there. So that also colored my viewpoint. I was very much hoping that Carolina would just put the smack down on Denver. But I don't know. Maybe this is worse. In retrospect, New England probably could have beaten Carolina too had they played that kind of game plan. New England's D is not nearly as good as Denver's, but the offense is substantially better. So I don't know.
It was a very conservative game plan from Denver, and Carolina kind of just played into it. And that was the part I didn't understand and certainly did not see coming.
Yep.
I expected Carolina to roll as well, but I certainly saw a scenario where it was a close game. But Denver pretty much was in control the whole time.
Yeah, that was the strange thing to me. Yeah. That Denver was – like the scoreboard didn't really show this, but as far – I mean, just watching it, I'm like, you know, even from the end of the first quarter, you feel like, damn, you know, unless something changes, Denver's going to win this game. Like this is
– yeah.
This is, and there wasn't much of a second half adjustment from Carolina. In fact, in the second half, if anything, they got worse.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what to say. It was like a very disappointing. I mean, it was a real anticlimax. But yeah, what does one do? I guess that's what happens. That's why they. I'm going to sound like a sports announcer here, but I guess that's why they play the games. Yeah. And now the NFL gets to have Peyton retire, having won Super Bowl 50. He leaves the league just soon enough that these people digging up muck on him don't have anything, you know, they're going to look like they're kicking a guy who's down if they keep it up. So this is like the perfect solution for everyone. The NFL gets their golden boy winning Super Bowl 50. Yeah.
I mean, right. And somehow Roger Goodell makes $124 million.
Look, somebody gets a Ferrari. That's all I know.
Yeah, he did.
More than one is my guess.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's that.
Will Smith doesn't get an Oscar. He ain't going to the Oscars. So that wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Well, that movie was terrible. So, I mean, as much as I would have liked
based on terrible events.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, as much as I would have liked that movie to be a real like, you know. A real wake-up call for people who like the NFL. The fact is it was a shitty movie, and like, well, I mean, what are you going to do? I don't know.
Well, clearly the answer is not to, like, come up with a terrible African accent for 2 hours. That was not a smart call.
Yeah, that's – I agree.
Well, weeping.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like maybe there's, like, a slight downward trend to the NFL nowadays? Like, it felt like 2 years ago the NFL was this unstoppable juggernaut. People were like saying, oh, it's not going to be forever, and they looked like fools. Now people say, oh, it's not going to be forever, and you can kind of believe them. Like, there's something going on. People are retiring because of injury. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the circles that I run in now, but it doesn't seem like as many people are playing fantasy football. Again, well, I hang out with a bunch of dorks because I live in Dorksville, but maybe that's the – maybe that's the reason for that. But is it possible that maybe the NFL, like 5 years from now, is just not going to be the powerhouse that they assume they will?
Well, if Super Bowl LI is anything like Super Bowl 50, that might be a possibility because that was a pretty crappy game. Mm. But up until that, I was really enjoying the playoffs. And as much as they are killing those guys, I was enjoying the product. Now, all that being said, the NBA just had like a fucking all-star weekend to remember with, I think the West like flirted with 200 points. By the way, good luck, rest of the world in the Olympics in Rio, against Golden State / San Antonio in that. Cause you're going to get annihilated.
Hmm.
Oh yes. And well, Durant and Westbrook for good measure.
No. Remember Tony Parker is going to be playing for France. So like, you know, that's, no, I'm just, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, man. The West is a freaking powerhouse. So.
Well, they have Golden State.
San Antonio, and you know, there are a whole bunch of teams in the West. I mean, look, obviously Golden State is right now head and shoulders above everyone else. But even if we forget that, even if Golden State didn't exist, I'd still think like the East would still be fucked, right? There are two teams in the West that are clear, at least two teams in the West that, besides Golden State, that are clearly better than the entire East.
Yeah.
So.
It's really one-sided on the NBA.
Maybe three. It's actually, I would say it's been closer than it has in the past. The second half of the West bracket doesn't look dominant for a change.
True. Fair. True. True.
But yeah, the stalwarts at top are redonkulous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was telling that no one even bothered to make a trade at the deadline. They're like, what the fuck is the point? I'm just going to lose to Golden State. Are you going to keep our draft picks?
Yeah,
stay under the salary cap.
This is a year to recover from injury.
I hope Steph Curry gets in a car wreck. That's going to happen.
This Cavs team thing, like, that just, like, it went nowhere. Like, the expectations there were so high, and, like, this is it's nowhere near.
What does LeBron have left? 2 years?
Maybe. At that.
Yeah. I'll see if they win another one. Or, well, win one, period. But
well, I think the thing that was really good was to make sure they picked up another all-star who likes to take shots from the exact same spot as LeBron James. I think that was a good call. I think it's amazing that no one in analytics picked up on that.
When you're extremely good at something and have other weaknesses, what you should definitely do is get better at the thing you're already extremely good at. That's like, double down. Like, solid strategy.
No one realized Kevin Love likes to shoot from the exact same goddamn spot.
Yeah.
How did you guys miss this? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a little... There's some management issues there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll make some changes on their coaching staff and turn things around, but I don't know. Maybe the city of Cleveland is just getting to them, you know?
Could be.
It's Cleveland.
In fairness, I spent New Year's in Cleveland and had a very good time.
I thought you were going to say, in fairness, I spent the New Year there and it was terrible.
Yeah, in fairness, Cleveland is awful. That's a fair thing to say, so I say it in fairness.
Well, isn't that the plot of Howard the Duck as he comes to Cleveland and he's just like, oh, God, what's wrong with humanity?
More or less, yeah. Let's just go with that.
Everyone's like, yeah, I've never seen that movie, Cyrus. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, we already dated ourselves with all the 90s talk about ska bands and
whatnot. How dare you? Earlier, so. Ska never left.
And how great 1990 was.
Yeah, that's true.
Again.
No callback.
Again. If 1990 is wrong, I don't want to be right, gentlemen. That's all. That's many of the people I work with now were born after 1990, which makes me extremely sad. So, like, I consider Big Lebowski something that people should still have seen. I make Big Lebowski references. I get blank stares back. It's just...
Oh, doesn't that hurt?
It's depressing, man. It's real depressing. Like, the other day, somebody was saying, oh, you know, it's okay. This is going to be fine. And I went into the, like, nothing is fucked. The plane has crashed into the goddamn mountain. And they thought I was being, like, nuts. Like, I was like, really, really, like, made me sad.
Wow.
I just went through that in the winter with all these younger people being like, yeah, this is the first Star Wars film I've ever seen. I'm just like, oh.
Jesus Christ. That's...
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a generation that, you know, venerates J.K. Rowling instead of, say, Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Time moves on.
Yeah.
Old cast.
let's go to Blockbuster Video and try to rent Assassin's
Fuck those
again.
Guys.
Oh, I found the video store in Fremont actually last weekend.
Wow, really?
Like, oh my god, it's amazing. They still have it's a very Fremont thing to do. They still have a goddamn video store.
They haven't yet heard about Netflix, huh?
No, they have. They've just figured out a way to survive, and you know, the hipster nostalgia factor there helps too.
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm sure I Love Video is still around in Austin.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like, you know, I Love Video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vulcan Video.
Hey, one hopes I'll be in Austin sometime later this year. I mean, maybe before as well, but end of the summer, there's a conference there. That's the one we just submitted
to.
All right.
One hopes that I'll be there for that.
Austin is so lucky.
All right.
Trudy's it is.
That's right. Every day. Every day, hey, Trudy.
Magnolia. Just
10,000 years. 10,000 years, Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty, 10,000 years. Forever and ever, Rick and Morty. Am I the only one still on this podcast that's watched Rick and Morty? Because, goddamn it, that's a sin. Rick and Morty is amazing.
I'm shamed.
Venture Brothers is back with a new season.
It is. I'm a year behind, so I got to catch up.
I'm at least a year behind. Oof.
I'm like in season 4, so I'm still cranking away.
Nice. Yeah. Since last we talked, you've moved far, because last time we podcasted, I'm pretty sure you were just about to watch Showdown at Cremation Creek Parts 1 and 2.
Oh, God. You were right. That was brilliant.
Yes, it was.
God damn. The sad part is I'm so far behind, I don't even remember the jokes y'all were making as references back then.
That's okay.
There, like that thing like it was literature.
So good. I'm gonna go back.
Because we quote it like it's like fucking mail.
It's so good.
It's true.
It's really my D&D skills.
That's hilarious.
That's really my goal. Just if I can have a D&D session that's basically like a Venture Brothers episode, my day's complete.
So, question, speaking of D&D, is Wizards just giving up on it? What the fuck is going on? They have not been at a single PAX since pre-5.0. The last time that they were at PAX was a PAX East, like a year before 5 came out, where they were doing beta 5 runs, because I was running for them. Like, I was DMing for them. And since then, they have not been to a single PAX, and they seem not to give a fuck about it. Any idea what's going on?
PAX East now has its own Acquisitions Incorporated live show, which is an expansion of the brand. It's very much alive at PAX Prime / PAX West, whatever the shit you want to call it. It had its own goddamn hotel. Wizards just is not sending their employees there to run things anymore. But they are providing the stuff.
Oh, interesting. So they're not completely out of it then.
No, not at all. Sword Coast Legends was their big thrust actually this last quarter. Their new online version of the game.
Oh, I see.
Apparently it's pretty boss.
There's an online version?
Oh yeah. With and the DM mode where one of the players can play as the dungeon master apparently is really cool.
Huh.
So that's their big push right now. But they do have like a new, adventure set, Rage of Demons, also coming out. They've got like a whole novel line built around that. Salvatore has written, I think, his 77th Dritz Do'Urden novel.
Oh my god!
So, which I'm probably only slightly exaggerating on.
R.A. Salvatore.
Of course, R.A. Salvatore. Is there any other Salvatore?
I don't know. I'm just checking to make sure. I got into a argument with him once.
Of course you did. Tell us more.
Well.
He
had his own website, and when he killed off Chewbacca, I wrote most people were just like, I hate you, you killed Chewbacca. And I wrote...
That sounds like the internet.
Well, but it was early internet, because, we're going back a long ways now. And at that time, trolls...
Keyshawn at geocities.com says...
Trolling wasn't as ubiquitous as it is today, and I was one of the forerunners of it. And really brought the thunder in a well-written discourse about how his writing of killing Chewbacca was a hack job.
You sent it to him via UUCP.
There were 10,000 posts of this forum. He wrote back to mine.
That's awesome.
It's probably still somewhere in alt.rec.starwars.com.
I actually think I have a copy of it still.
And his response, because we need a dramatic reading.
Yeah, no shit, man. This is the Al Keyshawn episode.
His response was basically something along the lines of, well, they killed Old Yeller, and that was a good story. And then I wrote him back, and I said, yeah, but they did that in 2 hours. They didn't do that over the course of getting you to love Old Yeller for 25 years and then kill Old Yeller and do it in a really stupid way. And, then he wrote something else, and we kind of got a back and forth. And then like all these people started weighing in, like you couldn't question the man.
Damn it, Salvatore! This is a Wookiee snuff novel, and I do not like it.
I just love the fact that if I could, and I guess I could probably, he wouldn't remember it, but if I could take a screen capture of that thing, post it on Twitter. And say Chewie lives and send it at R.A. Salvatore. That would probably be a funny
Text
to get promptly ignored.
Who knows, man?
I would write, like, never forget, you know?
Well, the problem is, now that you describe this to me, my headcanon now is I've got, like, Han coming out and, like, you know, shooting him in the head because Chewie has rabies. And, like, and the caption is, Han shot last, and I don't know how to feel about that.
It was so ridiculous. It was just dumb. It's just like that. They basically just were, like, wanting to make the novels look like that the good guys were under threat. And so the best way to do it was by killing one of them off, but they weren't actually going to kill any of the main characters. So, hey, let's kill Chewbacca. And then
Pick not C-3PO?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think this was pre-Jar Jar, so there was no such thing as Jar Jar Binks.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah, it was a simpler time. It was a better time.
God, yeah.
It was a dark time.
When people say the world used to be better, now I understand.
Right. Right.
Pre-Jar Jar. I haven't thought about that time in my life for a long time.
Pre-prequels. I know, yeah.
I mean, it was really all you had if you were a Star Wars fan was the special editions and those books that were slowly dribbling out.
And the Battle of Endor. Come on now.
What?
The Battle of Endor.
The game?
The made-for-TV horrible Ewok film where they're basically the Care Bears.
Oh, was that the name of it? Oh, wait a minute. This wasn't that far back because... This was like right around end of college time.
Brother, I'm just trolling. I'm not.
you went back to.
I'm not actually espousing the brilliance of Battle of Endor.
Don't forget the Christmas specials, you assholes.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
What?
The Christmas special
was written by R.A. Salvatore.
No.
I believe it.
Nice. We just get that rumor going. We got to modify IMDb.
I'm going to give you a gift right now, Keyshawn. I've heard Salvatore talk. He's from Boston. He's got the accent.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I want you to picture that next time you're thinking about him.
That's fucking great.
That's great.
I'm going to put this galaxy in my rearview mirror.
Well, the thing was, I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. I've read Star Wars books. I had no idea that he's, like, written tons of other things and has gone on to write tons more.
Yeah. I don't know.
Still, that was a hack job.
I believe it.
Caught shot last.
So since last we talked, a few games that have been, like, hotly anticipated have come out. One that comes to mind is Firewatch. Now, yep. I'm not claiming that I've played any of these, by the way. But if y'all have, we should probably talk about them a little bit, no?
I haven't gotten to Firewatch just yet. That's my next one on my list.
I haven't gotten to it.
What have you been playing recently?
Overwatch.
You've been playing Overwatch? I've been playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Aha.
Okay.
Assin. Go on.
Most people just say Syndicate, which really pisses off the people that like the game just plainly called Syndicate. But anyway, it's definitely the strongest Assassin's Creed in 3 years, let's say. 3 or 4 years.
Oh, shit.
Since before the Caribbean, then?
Yeah, I think.
Wait a minute.
Syndicate, this is the Sherlock Holmes era one, right?
Yeah, it's a steampunk, like, 19th century.
Okay.
Turn of the century London, yep.
There we go.
Interesting. Very cool.
I'm going to have to get this.
And you play as actually a pair of twins, fraternal twins. So,
twins?
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. You can switch back and forth between them, and they each have, like, parts of the story you can explore and
Do you ever get this, like, switch where you're the twin and everybody thinks you're the other one?
No, because one's female, one's male, so that doesn't work.
Damn it.
But you get to wear a top hat.
Very nice.
So, I'm in. That's all you had to say.
And your hideout's on a train. I mean, what more could you ask for?
I'm in. Is there any whaling? Whaling?
Is there any whaling? There's no whaling.
The last two Assassin's Creed games I played, there was just a shit ton of riding your boat around hunting whales and getting in battles on the high seas.
Yeah, you're in London. The closest you get to water is the dirty, dirty Thames. That's about it.
It's waters. Did they reek?
Sorry, that one's down my alley. I thought that was hysterical.
Well, speaking of Victorian England, did anyone catch the Sherlock New Year's Day special?
No, not yet. I've got it, but I haven't watched it yet.
All right.
I was about to say that, and then I thought we had already talked about it, but I guess we haven't.
Nope.
No. No, I saw that for sure. It's good.
I tweeted about it a lot, so maybe that's why I felt like it.
That's why. I'm remembering your tweets.
I was looking forward to that damn thing for 18 months.
And what did y'all think? Were you happy with it?
Oh. I give it 2 chimichangas up.
Oh, yeah. Very happy. Okay.
Yeah,
and Artie, what about you, man?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I was a little bummed that like, they just dropped the mystery in the Victorian times. Like, they didn't resolve it. They just kind of left it because they, in service of the greater plot, that was a bit disappointing to me. But otherwise, I thought it was great.
Oh, wait, did I miss something? I thought they did solve it.
Yeah, they kind of resolved it, right?
Sort of, but they kind of then started mixing his memories together, and they didn't, like, come to a very good conclusion. They just sort of left it in favor of the president.
Okay.
I mean, they gave us some explanation of what was. Yeah. They gave us some explanation of what was going on, right?
Yeah, but when he starts blacking in and out, they're like at the grave and stuff. They didn't really come to. I think Keyshawn doesn't want to be spoiled.
No, that's what we're talking around it.
That's okay. Yeah. Wait. But
we are professionals.
Overall, it was. I thought it was pretty well done, and like it was definitely enjoyable. Some of the people I watched it with were like super. Bummed out that it was like I guess they didn't know to expect the Victorian thing. Neither did I, by the way. But I hadn't really been keeping up with what was expected and all this. But I, watching it, I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. I enjoy this. This is like a fun take. So it didn't bother me, honey.
Maybe, maybe not.
I just needed more Cumberbatch in my life.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, you got Doctor Strange coming out in November too, so it's a lot of Cumberbatch.
I'm super excited. That cast, man.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't need to know what the project was. You just give me that cast, and I'd be like, where do I sign?
What's the cast? I don't know the cast.
Ariel, break it down.
So you got your Cumberbatch as your Doctor Strange. You got Chiwetel Ejiofor as Baron Mordo. You got Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One.
Nice.
You have Rachel McAdams, I believe. Is that the right? She's a supporting character of some kind.
Hot.
Who's Wong?
It's unknown. I don't think they've cast a Wong or a
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, they did actually recently.
They did? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
there was an announcement. I didn't catch it.
Okay.
I don't recall it.
I can hit up IMDb real quick and figure it out. But, I mean, that cast alone right there is, like, just incredible.
True.
So, looking forward to it.
That's not a Marvel film, you're thinking Oscar film, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm super excited.
Speaking of Rachel McAdams, have you all finished watching?
Yes, I have.
Thank God.
Key, have you watched it or are you just not gonna?
Which one?
True Detective season 2.
Oh no, I haven't watched it.
Any of them?
No, you can spoil the shit out of it. I'm not gonna watch it.
Okay,
oh,
hold on.
Geez, that's sad.
Let's just revisit. Mads Mikkelsen is also in the movie.
Oh, nice.
And Benedict Wong, who did a good job on in Marco Polo, he's Wong. So that's a cool gig too. So yeah, very strong cast. Anyway, back to Dirty Cops in California.
Yeah, sorry to. I mean, that was like a quick switcheroo there, but. Just Rachel McAdams made me think of it.
Yeah, I think it was actually a natural segue.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so let's get the most significant bit. Yes or no?
Man, I just by the end, I was pretty down on it. I gotta say.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
It started off kind of interesting to me with the intrigue and like the set pieces and where we were gonna go, and then Vince Vaughn's character just kind of. Spiraled out in this other direction that I didn't really care for, and then the whole other plot just kind of, I don't know, it kind of fizzled for me. There were some strong parts in the middle that kept me going. What?
It had two plots.
Yeah, it did. Then they were almost in parallel.
And
I expected them to collide.
Yes, and that is why I think everyone struggled so badly with it. They actually do intertwine. But it's very, very hard to figure that shit out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it, but the characters don't cross paths enough for it to really make a meaningful connection. I can see the threads and the different people who are dead that actually affected the different characters. But how strong season one was, it's just not the same.
The Woodrow half, and I always knew he was doing something important, mm-hmm. but I never grokked it until it was spelled out for me via that wonderful article that went out the week before the finale.
Oh, okay.
Tell us more. Unpack that.
I'll invite the listeners to do this as well. There's an article that if you Google the thing, what exactly is the plot of True Detective Season 2, it'll nice. Come right up. I think it's by Variety or a magazine of that notoriety for sure.
Okay.
But there was – why it's so difficult to follow is there are essentially two parallel conspiracies.
Right.
And I think that is what everyone was really struggling with, myself included. And the telling thing
What are you calling the two separate conspiracies? Since we're allowed to spoil here, let's just unpack it completely. Yeah. So the right. two parallel conspiracies. The first one has to do with the rail corridor, yeah, right?
The building. Land.
Right. And then the other one was the corruption within the police department.
Right. So
how those two things were intertwined.
Right. So this is like a perfect example of, well, let's say it's an attempt at a perfect example of film noir, right? The classic yeah. formula for any film noir yeah, is
surface crime. You
have, yeah. Exactly. You have a surface crime. You have something that pulls you in. And then as you watch it, you learn, oh, there's actually something even worse going on beneath the covers, right? So a good example of this that many of you probably have seen is Chinatown, where we have this like the water rights and all this and the murders over that. And then finally we get to this like fundamental corruption of like the dude, you know, and the daughter and the wife, right? Okay. So that's maybe not the best example, but that is an example.
No, that is the canonical example. That's well said.
Right. So, or I mean, look, even Big Lebowski follows the formula, right? So,
I understood the Big Lebowski.
I don't know. Actually, the more I go back and watch the Big Lebowski, the more I realize that there's so much to see there. But anyway, yes. that's be that as it may, like that clearly was going on here, right? Like we were expecting the whole time to see some kind of deep crime going on, right? Or at least I was. Like I was like, okay, this is gonna be a noir, so here we're gonna have like, you know. And we did. Like we got even we saw the hints of it from the beginning, but like it became explicit in the like just before the crazy firefight in season or in episode what, 3?
Yeah.
Right? The end of episode 3, like there's this massive firefight and it's you know, it becomes pretty clear afterwards that like this was an attempt to just kind of get everyone killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point we knew, okay, there's something fucked up going on here. We didn't know exactly what yet. And then it became quite explicit when the woman who's working for the state attorney general gets murdered, and then they try to pin it on
Del Coro.
On Bill Coro, exactly. Yeah. So then by that point we know, okay, this is totally fucked, and you know, this is a true conspiracy.
But it was the whole thing that Woodrow with the diamonds was tracking the whole time, and I knew it was supposed to be important, but I never really understood why, because it was actually a tangential side plot.
Yeah, that's how the surface crime and the deep crime are tied together. Is the dude who gets murdered in the very or before the very first episode even, right? He's involved in both. The diamonds plot, which has to do with the deep crime, the corruption that's been going on in the police force forever, and he has to do with the rail corridor. Like he fucks over the one dude for the rail corridor, and then that ties in deeply. Like in trying to unfuck the rail corridor thing, we end up, or Velcoro ends up stumbling over this whole other conspiracy, and the two are deeply tied together. Right.
Right.
So I don't know. I thought that structurally there was a lot to like about it. As complicated as it was, well, okay, yeah. I like things that are complicated, so you're not surprised that I like it. But
yeah.
I thought structurally that the show was quite well put together.
Yeah, I just feel like it was the execution that was wrong, like or not. As
yes, I agreed.
More than the
structure. Execution. The pace was uneven.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. definitely a reasonable concern. I'd say, and. Yeah, I mean, things could have definitely been – like, look, our expectations were set a little high because the first season is so fucking good. that the second season, well, it was almost certain to be worse. That said, like, I still think the second season was definitely worth seeing. Like, I really, I don't know. I thought.
Yeah, no, I would, I'm there too. I would recommend it. It's just, I had some problems with it. There were, I'm not giving it two chimichangas. I'm giving it like, I think three quarters or one.
No.
I'm in on it, but I'm going to, one other critique I would throw out there, and I think the one that probably bugged me the most was how in the finale, Annie Bezerrades became the damsel in distress. She had no agency in the conclusion of that series.
Yeah, even though she was like knifing the crap out of people the majority of the time.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I think it fell flat that the way it ended in the last episode with them just kind of disappearing into the crowd and Vince Vaughn just kind of dying on his own with his like vision quest thing.
Which I actually liked.
I understand what they tried to do, but like compared to all the really complex, interesting things they were trying to set up earlier, it didn't stick the landing to me at all. Like that last hour, maybe even hour and a half of the show, I don't know.
I enjoyed Ray Velcoro's character arc start to finish.
Okay, yeah.
And I think I would go with Frank as well, but Annie, no. Woodrow, I mean, I guess that was okay. You know,
Yeah. And I just didn't really feel connected to Frank. Like, his character didn't hook me. Like, I know yeah. He's supposed to be sort of the anti-hero slash villain, but I just didn't care.
That's fair. I liked him quite a bit, just as, I guess, a counterpoint. I liked him so much that I had a tough time with Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin at the same time. Because I thought he was playing that role better.
I see. Yeah, I can see that. It's a, yeah. Okay.
I'm probably definitely a minority on that. I think D'Onofrio's performance as the Kingpin is generally loved. But
yeah,
I liked it okay. But I thought Vaughn did a really good job. I mean, for a guy who's known principally, you know, for Swingers and fucking. Yeah.
He wasn't yelling and screaming his way through the
dodgeball.
Role, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think just the situations they put him in and stuff, I don't know. I think acting-wise, I thought he was fine. Just
yeah.
Didn't do it to me. Didn't do it for me.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Vince Vaughn, I thought his acting job was pretty uneven. I think there were parts of it that were downright bad. I think there were other parts of it that were good, but maybe going back and watching it again, that could be seen as some kind of
script
like character. Well, no, I was going to say it may be the case that like what I'm reacting to is something in the character rather than something in the acting. But in any case, yeah, I didn't love his acting, but I did love the character. Like I thought there was something pretty nice about the way pretty cool about that character story arc. I mean, there was something really nihilistic about the whole fucking thing, right? Like there's,
yeah.
You know, they almost win. They get there. They fucking, that heist is awesome. And then everyone just dies. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, that's okay. I agree with you. I didn't like the fact that in the last episode, Bezerrades turns into kind of like a pawn. Whereas the whole time she's been this super strong, awesome character.
Yeah, and she's just like, they're just like, stay in the car kind of deal, like, at the end.
Yeah, I mean,
the quote-unquote victory was Ray got her out.
Yeah, okay.
That's not, I don't love that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Ray's arc was perfect or close to it.
Farrell did a great job.
Yeah, I thought his was clearly the best. There was something sad about Woodrow's. I mean, a lot of stuff sad about Woodrow's arc, but his was also really fucking good. Like that, you know, the stuff that the investigating that he did, and like that final firefight, and even the way that he dies, like all of that is pretty much.
He did trend upward. I would agree with that.
I didn't love the Frank thing, but I guess it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought Bezerrades was clearly the one whose arc ended the worst and like the most out of character for her. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe a second watch would reveal things that the first one didn't. Well, probably, right? I kind of love the.
I'm picturing you like in your office watching it again. You're like, oh my god, that's the guy from Jesse's Girl.
Nice. I kind of did love the detective who was Velcoro's partner. I mean, he was also a clue early on that things weren't as they seemed, but he was hilarious. Part of the reason I loved him is because he was from Deadwood. That helped.
All good things come from Deadwood.
Fucking true, man. I mean, I know you've seen John Wick, so I know that you've seen Ian McShane. So,
you know, I just felt like in season one, everybody likes Rust, and Woody Harrelson's character was an asshole that you kind of like were interested in, but at least you had the contrast between the two, and I don't feel like they had the same kind of balance with the three main protagonists in season two. I felt like there was something missing there. They were all kind of miserable in their own way, and I didn't find something to latch onto myself.
Well, there were four main protagonists.
Well, yeah, sure. If you count Frank,
just problematic in and of itself.
Yeah, and so I felt kind of split apart there because it was I didn't have anyone in particular that I could latch onto and really like.
And I think the point that you made about lack of contrast is an important one, right? Like, there's something about, like, every time Rust goes off the deep end in the first episode, like, there's the episode, yeah, maybe yeah. It's the second episode or third episode in the first season where Rust is saying some shit in the car and Woody Harrelson's character looks at him and says, "What the fuck are you talking about? Don't say that shit where anyone can hear you," or something like that. Right? Yeah. That's perfect because it's like, okay, we're not going too far up our own asses here. But like the second season, like everyone's miserable. Everything sucks. Yeah. It's like a good example of this is in the third episode. The doctor asks Ray if he even likes being alive, and Ray fucking barrels the camera and is just like, "I don't know. Do I want to die?" It's like, or whatever he says. It's like, oh my god, really? Jesus Christ! Like, oh. Like,
every time his kid shows up, it's like depression fest. It's like, this is not going anywhere good.
Oh, it's but just... Jesus Christ! The first episode with the parents.
Oh yeah.
That was one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen. That's so fucking good. Ray takes out the brass knuckles and beats the shit out of the dude and then tells the kid, "You ever touch my..." "I'll come back here and..." What does he say? "Sodomize your mother, your father with your mother's headless corpse," or something
like
that. Oh my Jesus.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Oh my god. That's true grit right there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I it was flawed, but I thought it was good anyway. I enjoyed watching it, let's say. So, okay.
Well, I'd like to take a moment to tell you and the listeners that this episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast is not sponsored in part by Westin Hotels. With more than 200 hotels and resorts worldwide, Westin Hotels are defined by modern design, instinctive service, thoroughly absorbent carpets, and toilet facilities that work 99% of the time. Whether you're golfing in Spain, snorkeling in Bali, or playing drunken D&D in San Antonio, Westin delivers an experience unlike any other. Westin Hotels, when you're here, you owe us money. Mm. Now on with the show.
All right.
Wow, that was a good one. That's thanks, Westin, for not sponsoring us. Fuck you. I'd like maybe a free night or two.
Oh, I fucked that, Westin. I joined
the... I felt like I owed him.
I joined the club, you know, they have that little gold club, you know, and every time I get one of their spam emails, I think, this is the one. They're sending me a bill. In my entire life, I've never thrown up drunk until I was at a Westin hotel.
Hey, look, Westin, when you throw up here, you're home.
I woke up in the middle of, like, mid-puke.
Oof. Yeah. That's rough, dude.
Yikes.
We may have been asked to leave the bar because they were closing. That may have happened.
I don't remember calling Wobby.
No, you did not.
I did get a voicemail. Mike called me and was singing. Well, and I've kept it because he's singing, "If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it."
Wow.
And if you let me see if I could pull it up here. Give me a second. We might just have a little. Only problem is I don't know. Keep going, and I'll see if I can find it here.
My God.
I like how we went from the darkness of True Detective Season 2 to this darkness. This,
all over the floor.
Uncontrollable vomiting. And
well, I was just thinking about after, you know, Ray went on that cocaine bender and just destroyed his apartment.
Right.
That's kind of like us Friday night at Weston.
All right, wow. Here we go.
Wow.
You know, it's remarkable.
Impressive.
He sounds like that old molester on Family Guy.
How's that not your ringtone?
It's about to be.
There's an app for that, sir. Get on that immediately.
I'm getting on that shit. You bet.
Man.
Make that a Patreon reward for our subscribers.
My God.
I'm going to see what I can do.
Is that the first time he's been like unofficially on the podcast? Like his voice has touched a microphone on this podcast?
I believe so.
And all right. That's one hell of a way.
Now, from what I've been told, I left a rather kind message to Mr. Wobby, and Mike did not.
No, that's definitely true. I got a nice
friendly message. There was some yin and yang going on there.
Yeah, I got a nice friendly message from Keyshawn, and then I got
drunk.
It was drunk. It was you know, we miss you, man. We wish you were here. And then for Mike, I got
$5. Get out of here.
Get out of here. You got a butt that won't quit. Yeah. From Mike, I did not get such a nice voicemail. I felt, you know, I felt a little attacked. I felt like I was being called names. I was being called names. And, you know, it was not quite as friendly. So,
oh,
how it goes, I guess. So it goes. Yeah, but what are you going to do, right? I mean, the man is obviously very angry. And he really wishes that some, I don't know. I don't know what. I mean, look, the guy's crazy. He moved to Dallas.
Suburban Dallas, yeah. Man.
Jesus Christ.
The concrete jungle's getting to him.
Yeah, God.
It is.
I wonder if he had forgotten before he moved back just what he was in for.
Weston Hotels.
This segment brought to you by
or not
Weston
Brian.
Hotels.
And I am so thankful I developed a habit of flushing a toilet before I use it.
Whoa.
I'm gonna let that hang out there for a second.
I went into the restroom and flushed the toilet. It shot water 3 feet in the air.
Well.
I was afraid it was like maybe like a part bidet. No. No, it wasn't.
You won the jackpot.
Oh.
Congratulations.
The first thought was, ooh, it's a fancy hotel with a bidet. Ooh. And then I thought, no, this isn't on purpose.
You're like, nope, that's the Golgotha.
Wow.
I have seen this film.
Yep.
It's not in well.
Yeah. But all of that bad karma paid off in the end.
Hey,
because
sounds like it. Well, tell us about your fabulous prizes. I assume you got some, yeah. I don't know, gift certificates or something.
I got good swag. I got several different pins.
Very nice.
Are selling pretty well on eBay. And I got my favorite thing's the medal. Well, it's hysterical. It's a little medal, like PAX 2016 on a blue ribbon. but not like a little one you pin on your shoulder. No, no. This goes around your neck.
Damn.
What Chewbacca should have gotten.
But he died.
Until Bob killed him.
Yeah. Damn it. Salvatore.
So you remember my advice regarding that medal, right?
No.
I told you, I wanted you, you need to frame that plus your Whataburger notes.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah,
put that up on the on your man cave wall there.
I haven't done it yet, but I've got them both. I'm going to do it.
That's all a right. Great idea.
That was some absurd shit that night.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, please.
I was just going to say that panel's been going on for 10 years now, and it's definitely becoming one of like the things to go to at the various PAXes. And like the judges said, and like we observed as well, that you know there's a small community that really that's the thing they're there for, or one of the things they're there for, and they really bring the thunder.
Since we started going to PAX, that's been a thing we've consistently loved doing, right? I mean, it's one of the most fun things there. I mean, right? It's like always entertaining. Somebody's always doing pretty well. There's always that one dude who's like somewhere on the spectrum and doesn't quite understand that it's a.
doesn't quite get it.
That's okay. Even that is funny in its own way. I mean, not in a nice way, but in its own way. And
there was an Enforcer's moment at PAX South. Let's put it that way.
Oof.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had security there.
Whoa. Whoa, yeah. Back up. Unpack that a little bit, please.
There was a younger gentleman who handicap. I think – yeah, he had to have been, and I don't think they realized that initially.
I'm confirming it for America.
That just got away from his handler, I assume, and was just misbehaving, and they finally had like, okay, Enforcers, go get that dude. And then he took off, so yeah.
You can't catch me. Was he the greased up deaf guy? Okay. Oh. You can – That's fine. We're allowed to make fun of that.
Oh, you know, I just remembered there was one pitch that was really absurd, and it was basically like to hold your pee as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a game.
It was a bit
with others.
Yeah.
And essentially, did the pitch. They told him no, and he went screaming from the room for the restroom, like just as fast as he could.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It went well. It wasn't really a game pitching a game. He was just, you know, it was just a little bit, and it was good for a laugh, and that was it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then there was the other guy who placed. I think he got third behind the
Draft Dodger.
Wow.
Oh, you're an old man, and the entire objective of the game is to maintain the temperature in your and he also like starts with you and your wife, you know, and then you gotta like close windows or open windows or adjust the thermostat upstairs or downstairs. You know, somebody left the goddamn door open, you gotta go get the door. And then like the final level, I can't remember enough details, so Cyrus jump in. But the final level was your mother-in-law comes to visit.
Oh,
yeah. No, I think you got the long and short of it, man.
But the great part was the name, Draft Dodger. It was even a cold joke. It was just so good. That was a really good pick.
Yeah. Oh. That was the other one where the gentleman forgot to give the name of the game in the first round. And then I think when he opened it with his second round spiel with that, that's what, you know, put him in the medal running, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, and circling back to our pitch, when we got up for the second round, and we were right towards the tail end, but when we got up there, you know, we did the same bit where we pull out the paper and the Whataburger bag and hold it out again and then read howdy again.
Which was a nice touch, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. And then as part of that pitch, what was it? Cyrus, do you remember what happened right there?
Which part? It's just a wild experience. I've seen people do well at pitch a game. I've never seen someone dominate.
it was saying the name, because in the first round
they
didn't hear the full name. And so when I said it was a Maritude part I, or my game was a Maritude part I, and they heard the part I and just fell out.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like, oh, this is going to go well, you know, and then just leapt right into it. And,
you had already won before then, man. They were hungry for you to come back up there.
We got to talking about President Governor Chuck Norris, which I thought was brilliant. That was Cyrus's. that was brilliant, just brilliant. And then kind of walk through some of the levels. I remember Cyrus and I workshopped the shit out of those levels.
The one I was really proud of was level 2, where you build and maintain the wall around Mexico.
That's right.
Because that one's subtle. No, you have
it was,
to,
no, no,
it's
no,
awful,
it was,
and then you think about it, you're like, oh, that's really awful.
No, it was complete and defend. Complete
yes.
and defend their wall around. Which is just so bad. And then knowing that I can't remember the name of the guys, that they're from Oregon, right?
Jeff Callis, the main judge and the inventor of it, is a Seattleite.
Yeah.
Chris Straub is from California originally. Currently lives in Seattle as well. Kate Leth, and that's wrong. She's our comic book artist. Kate Welch is a social media personality. I'm assuming from the West Coast as well.
Ah, well, so one of the levels was that we were gonna hitch up. That was where we introduced the dog. You're a duly deputized agent of freedom, and you're dog Colonel Travis up to Oregon to rescue.
What did you call him? It was like your bloodhound, your smell hound, or something.
Something like that. I can't remember what it was. I've got it written down. But we're taking your dog up there, and pardon my freedom language, those damned rescuing our brothers from those damned Oregonis.
Hilarious.
And that one got the Oregon folks laughing.
Yeah.
And then I forgot. We the setting of the background of it was that we had moved the capital from that liberal wasteland Austin down to the Alamo. And I turned to the crowd and I said, "Y'all remember the Alamo, right?"
That's fucking good.
And they went wild again. Which
they did. Yeah, the response was, it actually, you had to pause and wait for the laughter to die down before you could.
It was like a late night routine. It really was.
Yeah. And then there's a level where you got to go and change all the Tex-Mex restaurants to Tex-Tex restaurants, which was just so stupid. And the final level was called the All the Hell With It, and then you just go on taking over the rest of the goddamn planet. And at that point, and this was, I think this was my idea, was this part. At that point, I switch back to my normal voice, and I start talking about game mechanics, where it's going to take on like a third-person shooter mechanic slash risk mechanic, with isoperspective to blah, 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 you know, and I was using my normal voice, and that was when the judge, the female judge, leaned in and went, "Oh, my God, he was doing a voice."
Yeah, Callis actually made a comment that he really appreciated that part as well, so.
And then at the end, I switched back to the redneck voice and said something along the lines of, what was it? It was something. "Y'all may not like this game, but it's the game we deserve. Thank you. God bless Texas."
And then that's when the USA chant spontaneously erupted.
But most of that, you couldn't – the last few words you couldn't hear because the roar was just huge.
It was ridiculous.
That's fucking good.
It was the closest I'm ever going to being Ric Flair.
And that is a perfect capper to that story.
So afterwards, it was a victory march through the place. We were all just celebrating,
mm-hmm.
And it was really a team victory. Mike got up there. Mike, we got to go back. Hang on, hang on. We got to go back.
You're turning into Jack from Lost here.
When we were going through the ideas the night before, what I do remember was that Smegma Man was not a funny pitch. It was just disgusting. It was just Mike wanting to be disgusting in front of many, many people.
Yep.
That's Mike.
But. Yeah.
That's Smegma Man.
Here's the big but. Mike got up there, and the way he pitched it was hysterical. Because he got up there and he with this gravitas. And kind of sidled up to the microphone and just kind of leaned in and cleared his voice a little, just this almost. And he doesn't say, he just leans in. Smegma Man. That's all I've got. and the way I'm doing it, poor justice. It was hysterical how he did it.
It was well delivered.
Yes.
He got his laugh, and then he got his no.
That's right. But the delivery was 98% of it that got a really good laugh.
That's pretty good.
Oh, that was good. Now, all unfortunately, right. I'm never going to be able to follow this up. That was it. I've shot my load. That's all I've got.
Nah, you never know, man. You never know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we peaked with Mike Tyson's eat out, but I was wrong.
I just don't think I could ever come up with anything that would where I would act that ridiculous and be able to pull it off, other than being a redneck. I can do that. So that's it for me. I'll be coming up with ideas for all of y'all to get up there. I could never do another redneck one.
I'd like to think that nobody else can do another redneck one after your delivery.
Cool. All right.
I haven't touched any alcohol. You notice this is my first sober podcast in a long while. I have not touched a drink since PAX.
I'm still a little buzzed. I'm hoping to come down in another 4 to 6 weeks.
That's right.
Okay, Ariel. So you've been away for a bit. But this is your time to shine because I want to hear what you have to say about this Batman versus Superman advertising blitz we're getting.
Oh, okay.
Batman we are colon. Three. We are 4.5 weeks away from this opening.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah. That is real math, sir. Crazy, or does this thing look good?
It's starting to take shape. I saw the last full trailer. Mm-hmm. I like the Alfred stuff. I like the way he fights Batman. That is.
Oh my God! Yes.
That gave me hope. And what I read that I guess Alfred is not supposed to be his butler, but was the bodyguard, like the Wayne family bodyguard. Which is very interesting.
Oh, that's from Jeff Johns' Earth One story. Interesting.
Oh really? Okay, I didn't know that. So, you know, it's like, dude, where the hell were you when his parents got shot up then? So maybe they both share some guilt there, and that would be a kind of an interesting, kind of partnership. And apparently Alfred's like, nah, I'm not going to maintain Wayne Manor. I'm just going to live in a trailer over here, and like Bruce doesn't live in Wayne Manor. So all those little tweaks on the Batman story are interesting to me.
It's Jeremy Irons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hells yeah, it's Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board now. I'm ready.
Damn you people.
Dude, it's okay. It might be terrible.
No, it's not okay to have hope.
No, but that's what the S-Shield stands for. You have to have hope.
You're saying this? Wait. Back up. You're saying this after – you're taking my argument from Star Wars and applying it here. Look, I know that reality is probably going to set in minutes into this movie at most, right? But from now until then, let me have this, okay?
Yeah, hope.
He wants to enjoy the idea of it for a bit.
Focus on the Batman parts, it'll be okay. Focus on the Batman parts.
I guess if you look at it as I am willing to have hope until 6 minutes into this film, that's okay. I can live with that. It's if you're saying I have hope that this is going to be a good film, and then it gets dashed and your hearts get rended against the wall and smote against the mountain, that I can't live with it because it's
well
easy.
For me, the hope is good because I was pretty convinced it was going to be bad and it was going to collapse under its own weight. But everything I've seen suggests that there's a fair amount of character development and a really good story that this is grafted onto. As a matter of fact, thematically, it's shockingly similar to Captain America: Civil War.
Yes. In fact,
which is very interesting. So once again, these two studios are in direct competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think it's really going to come down to not just stylistic stuff, but how deeply they're going to go into the themes and how connected you're going to feel all the characters are to each other. I think Marvel's got almost 10 years, 8 years of work built up on that front. Can DC smash it all together here and pull it off in a significantly shorter period of time?
Precisely, and it felt like Warner's was really rushing that process.
Yeah,
it's like they've got one, we should have had one, so let's force this shit.
Yeah,
let's race birth this into the world, and I think Goyer might have pulled it off.
We'll see you next month.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we won't know for a little bit yet, but I'm genuinely intrigued that, and I'm think that maybe they made a really good movie here.
I'm with you, Cyrus.
How hopeful were we? How hopeful were we this far away from Watchmen?
Oh,
were we like hopeful for that movie, or was it just going to be garbage?
I can't remember. I was just stuck in kind of middle of the road.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was never in on the Watchmen film at all.
Interesting. Okay.
Having seen it, I to this day would argue Zack Snyder did as good of a job as you can. But and I swear I've probably said this on one of our very early episodes because we've been going for a while at this point now. But that thing is a comic book.
Yeah.
And a lot of his narrative techniques just don't work in film.
That's fair.
He did it as well as you possibly could too, and it still didn't really work.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought it was. I think I ended up liking it more than the rest of y'all did. I know exactly what you mean though. Like it did not translate perfectly, and so it was not as it wasn't as good as a film as it was as a comic book, right? But that said, like you know.
Yeah, I mean, I still enjoyed it.
The high points of the story got across, and
I liked it too. I just was never really that excited for it at any point because I was like, this just it can't be translated.
Yeah, it was always going to be really hard to translate, but this is effectively translating, Dark Knight Returns into film. No, or am I just? Am I reading?
Well, it is, but it's also somehow the Justice League Origin squished together with it, which is why I was worried about it. I was like, oh, I don't know how that's going to work.
I guess Dark Knight has the property that's not going to be that hard to
stuff in there.
I know. Right. But that's the part that scares me the most.
Yeah, this could end up turning into a sausage, right? Like they just ground up a bunch of shit and stuffed it in.
Yeah, it's the third. It's that Batman 3, the Batman Returns. Was that the third one?
Batman Forever.
Forever. Where they just squeezed as many characters as they could in there, and you got just a sausage.
Everyone had nipples. It was very disturbing. Yeah.
That was four.
Chill out.
Look, they had seen,
three, we, oh, wait, cool it? What was it?
Everybody freeze.
Everybody freeze.
The trailer had some ice. Tips for Darkseid's planet, Apocalypse.
Yeah, but those are allegedly a vision of Bruce, like a bad dream, a nightmare or something.
Oh,
he's a prophet. He's a prophet now.
The whole
Batman didn't have in his repertoire.
the whole like duster Batman scenes, I think all of that's a nightmare that he has about Superman taking over the world.
So we get a Batman dream sequence. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what that's supposed to be.
And interesting, he's dreaming about a man in his underwear.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The guy has
and tying him up.
That reminds me of this like Dane Cook skit from with the crab with the loafers. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I gotta look that up immediately.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
I know, but I'm excited.
That's awesome. It's definitely
worth looking up. It's pretty good. Pretty good skit. Pretty good skit. Pretty good bit. Yeah. Shit. Well. Okay. What are we going to do here?
It was okay for me to be excited for this movie.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm with you.
And I got two yeses and a no, I think.
make sure to keep in reserve a little bit of skepticism. Keep it in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Just to be ready. But, yeah, okay.
DC! DC! Warner!
I know, but they're on such a great run right now.
Well, the most accurate words are something you said several years back, which is that the funny thing is that everybody else is really good at playing with DC's toys.
Yep.
And so there's hope there. But damn it.
Yeah, it's
I'm not going to feel it.
It's not clear what's going to happen. We may be in for.
I feel like DC's IP is pretty well represented in multimedia right now.
I agree.
Their comics are sucking left and right. And I was before we opened the episode, I was asking Ariel if he knew anything about the reboot 7.0.
Yeah.
And because we know that we know is coming, and but it's like I don't know how the hell or why the hell they're doing that yet again.
Is it only 7?
I don't even know anymore.
I think it's more than that.
The problem was is they, you know, 6 years ago they called it Final Crisis, so now they can't call, so they can't even refer to it like by that moniker any longer.
Yeah.
So now it's like Convergence and Revergence and whatever the shit this thing is going to be called. I don't even know. And
Ultimate Super Crisis.
I guess.
Two out of their 4 TV series are really good.
Yeah.
You're counting Gotham, aren't you? You're putting Gotham in there, aren't you?
No, that's 5.
So I believe that's in the 5. Shame hole.
I didn't even count Gotham. To
just
be
forget that exists. Just
yeah, I'm I curious. Break
give
it
him a pass.
Who's your 2-4? Two Flash, out of the 4.
Flash and Supergirl.
You don't like Arrow or Legends
you
tomorrow?
Banished Arrow. Interesting.
Man, Arrow, whatever talent was cranking out Arrow for the first 2 years went over and started working on Supergirl and Flash.
I don't know. Season 3 was weaker, but I think season 4 is making a comeback.
I don't know. I just know that you could watch the episodes of Arrow and just devour those first 2 seasons. Every episode was well-written, had snappy dialogue, and the characters stayed true themselves mostly, the way they interacted was great. And that's not quite there anymore on that. It's there on Flash in fits and starts, and Supergirl's killing it right now. I mean, just all sorts of little the same feeling you get with the first season of Arrow.
No, I think the Flash season 2 has been excellent through and through.
I
can't really speak to Supergirl because I saw the pilot, liked it, but was like, not for me. So I bailed.
I feel like the Flash season 2 has gotten better as it's gone through the season. Like, it started really strong and then kind of lulled into something and then has been building into a crescendo. The last several episodes have been great.
The whole Earth 2 thing was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the way – and that allows so much to be handled in terms of, like, alternate universes and things like that.
So hey, really lest we forget that Fringe
– Superman doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Constantine, by all accounts, was good also. And I'm hearing good things about Lucifer.
I watched the first episode of Lucifer, and that was good.
Yeah.
Just haven't had time to watch any more of it.
They're doing a good job, finally. But, yeah, they're really killing it.
I can't wait to see Preacher.
I'm kind of with you that Arrow, we're getting diminishing returns. I think my biggest problem with 4... beyond the too many protagonists, too many cooks phenomenon, if you will, is that Damian Dark is just not really doing it for me as a big bad.
Yeah.
And we're also kind of treading water with the island flashbacks.
I know. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, I think we're getting to the point where that's it. We're done with the island flashbacks. Like, they're going to have to resolve.
We get one more year, right?
Yeah.
So
they're going to have to they're running out of track there, so it should be interesting to see what they do afterward.
Do Speedy flashback and Diggle flashback.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe they'll
I'd
do flashbacks
cool
now. Maybe they do
flashbacks. I would love to see Diggle in Afghanistan.
You'd see him on the island.
on an island?
No, this again, this is not Lost.
you mark my words. They're gonna have Diggle on that goddamn island in the past.
Oh, okay, hang goodness. On. Follow up question: does he have the fucking helmet?
Oh Jesus!
You know, I heard that. I heard they're gonna redo Diggle. The helmet.
They're what?
They're gonna redo the helmet. Cisco's gonna have a shot at the helmet, and they're gonna redo
it. Because Mag Diggle just doesn't work.
Is he gonna Mag Diggle? That sounds dirty. Kind of like it. I don't understand. What is Cisco going to do? Take it back to Mount Doom where it was forged and cast it in? I don't
know. It's just going to make him a new one somehow, and they're going to redesign it that way.
Oy.
It's just an in-story excuse for redesigning.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree with the criticisms. I just think season 4 is definitely shaping up to be better than season 3.
Oh, well, that I think it says how bad 3 was.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think 4 is trying
I liked 3 okay. I think it was a little drawn out, and the island stuff was poorly done again. Yeah. Because he wasn't on the fucking
island. I mean, it's not Gotham bad. I mean, let's be serious here.
Well, like, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, no, it's not as zero as chimichangas. There's definitely Mexican food on the plate.
Yeah, and I still enjoy it. I mean, I will admit I enjoy The Flash a lot more, but I still enjoy watching it week to week, Arrow.
Oh, yeah. I'm sticking with it. It earned so much from what it started that I'll stick with it. But there's more moments of me rolling my... I mean, is there any way, just... I'm begging because we have a podium here so we can plead to America that somebody could make it where Black Canary doesn't look so ridiculous when she does that.
They need a more visual
whistle
approach.
Whistle. Anything.
I think they need to show like shockwaves or something, like her just opening her mouth and having the sound is not enough. They need to have something more visual there, like they do in the animated series, for example, to kind of demonstrate the force of that. I think that's
it's really... kind of like how they changed the quickening in the later Highlander films.
Hmm. It would also be nice
early on. It's just a gust of wind
and lightning bolts. Yeah.
It would also be nice if maybe it got some of the elements of the dubstep gun from.
yeah.
She opens her mouth and it's like
not to be Roger Goodell about it, Rian, but at this point, I think. Everything should be on the table as far as fixing this shit.
Yeah. I personally would like to see Black Canary dubstep version because that definitely has some potential. The kids would like it.
could we fix that goddamn costume as well, by the way?
They kind of changed it.
A little bit.
It looked like they changed it last episode.
Care for the baton fu fighting style either. That doesn't work.
She stopped wearing a wig, so they got rid of that finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby steps, I guess.
Was anybody else hoping that Zoom would somehow kill Earth 1's Iris West and the Earth 2 Iris West could come back over?
No.
And just totally replace her ass? I'm still holding out hope.
Is my silence like indicative of how in I am on this plan? No. I'm glad this came up actually tangentially because I have a theory. I think I figured out why Iris West and Laurel Lance suck so fucking hardcore.
Really?
Yeah. Let me bring it up this way. Who are the good female characters in those shows?
You have like in The Flash, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin has things to do, so Caitlin usually ends up being
Caitlin Snow's good.
You know, Golden Glider is a good character, even though she's a villain, because she has things to do, and she has, you know, agency of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all
Overwatch.
Overwatch on Arrow, yeah, of course.
I would say Felicity's beloved. Yeah.
In the entire universe, I would say she's that Arrowverse, including the Flash. She's probably the best female character.
Okay. Now, what do those characters have in common besides being women?
Blonde.
No.
They've all demonstrated that they're
Survey
smart.
Survey says.
They've all demonstrated that they're very smart and thus very capable.
Yes. Would you say that they're somewhat geeky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden Glider less so, but. She's smooth in a different way. She has more social engineering than – I mean, just and like her brother. But that's,
she's more one note too, I would argue.
Yeah, but she's used very effectively. I guess that's just a difference. Mm-hmm. In her
yeah, team. And I would throw Sarah Lance in there as well. Very one note, but done very well.
Yeah. And again, you know, clever in her own way and kind of a copy of Oliver in a sense.
Yeah. So with Iris and Laurel Lance, in my opinion, we have a problem here where we have writers of a four geeks by geeks show – where they're attempting to write women that do not come from that subculture, and they don't know what to fucking do with them. I think that is the problem.
Nice.
They cannot write an adult woman that is not into comic books.
I mean, look at Thea the same way.
God damn it, you're a genius.
So I think it's time to shake up that writer's room a little bit, guys.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
I don't think Jane Espenson is doing anything. Go get her.
Oh.
Thea suffers from the same problem, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they have Thea acting like her mother, she does a good job of doing that. Have y'all picked up on that?
Willa Holland can act. I think that's fair.
I don't think there's a problem there. Yeah.
I think she's crippled with a wine character, though.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that's a good observation. Cause...
I think that may be what the problem is here, is they just don't know how to write a woman that's not into the things they're into.
Or some other trope, right? Like you see Cop Iris, that's just a trope. Like they just they just move that character forward in a very common direction, and that's it. She's more one dimensional on Earth 2, if anything, compared to Earth 1. Oh, they're trying to do an Earth 1 anyway.
But yeah, there's no one like with the dimensionality of like the Good Wife or something of that ilk, you know?
Oh no,
there's nothing close to that.
Felicity's the one that gets the most because she's a main character on the cast, so she has the most dimensionality of any female character in the whole universe.
And she comes very much from the world they understand and know how to write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go, WB, CW. Get on it.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't talked about Legends of
Tomorrow.
Shit.
Yeah. Wow. Tell me how you really feel.
I will tell you this. Captain Cold, I love that show.
From the makers of True Shit Season 2.
Yes. I love him and his fire buddy. And the rest of them can all eat cake. But him and the fire buddy are...
Sadly, fire buddy, I think, is a better nickname for him.
I don't even know what...
Heat wave?
Thank you, Silver Age.
Yeah, that show's painful to watch, but it's worth it whenever that Captain Cold and Fire Buddy are on the screen.
Oh, so it isn't good. That's a bummer.
Spoilers, but when they killed Carter, I think that improved things.
Yes.
I think the show's still trying to figure out what it is. I mean, it's going to take at least half a season before they figure that out.
Yeah,
maybe to cut off some more characters. I don't know.
I will say I'm very intrigued every time I read one of the premises for the episode.
Yeah,
I'm like, that sounds kind of cool. So
it's very comic booky.
That's okay. Which may not that's good and bad, right? Sometimes depending on what they're doing.
I mean, the premises are comic booky, but then they don't have the characters kind of used in a way that's interesting throughout the episode. They still need to gel better in a way.
You really get the feeling of like a formulaic, all right, we need to have at least two, maybe three, like two plots and an overarching plot that we advance for every episode.
Oh, this is the old Denny O'Neill thing.
Yeah, and they manufacture these situations. I mean, they literally will have a character who just the previous episode had an epiphany, completely forget that epiphany and go right back to what they were doing before to have the epiphany again the next episode.
Well, you know, what bugs me too is the plot, the forcing function, like the conflict is the heroes generated the conflict themselves so far in every arc by traveling into the past in the first place. Like they are their own problem. The villain only gets smart enough to figure out that to make some evil plot because they left something behind or did something fucked up. Like,
yeah.
It's like, well, if the guys didn't go into the past in the first place, the Earth would be in a better place. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that means that they need to...
This is the laser cat scenario.
Vandal Savage used to be scary enough on his own. Like, he can't have Vandal Savage plus some crumb that one of the main characters left behind that he, you know, chews on to, like, create the plot for every one or two episodes. Like, it's, I don't know.
And the first episode, they came right out and said, well, you guys are a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah. I think that
doesn't help helped and, cause.
It helped and hurt the premise of the show. I don't know. That's a tough call. Yeah.
It's not very often when you come out and say, you guys are shit. We're going to have a show about you.
Yeah. That's pretty much what they did. They're like, hey, you guys are all the backup characters for all the shows.
You guys are the R.A. Salvatores of the superhero.
And then we're back to the beginning.
Cold-blooded.
Oh, I just...
all together.
Like, R.A. Salvatore, the son of a bitch.
Oof, that's a deep cut right there.
Only on this show will you hear something like that.
My God.
Oh, God.
I just don't know what I'm going to get a chance to see it, man. I mean, I'm looking at this Netflix slate that's coming up.
Hey,
you're better off. Yeah.
Daredevil is right there. I think we're all super excited for that.
Uh-huh.
I'm loving the character arc.
Did you see that last trailer?
Yeah. With the Punisher, actually doing things.
Well, I know there's a second one supposed to come out. So are you referring to that one, or has that not dropped yet?
The first.
There's a part one and a part two.
Yeah, second trailer, part one.
Okay, got it. So I think I'm coming up then.
There was a teaser, and then this one, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Punisher focused trailer. Yeah.
My assumption was there's an Electros focused part two coming.
Yeah. Okay. That's this week coming up. Yeah.
Okay, really? So it hasn't dropped yet. Okay.
Not yet. The 23rd or 26th, something like that.
Oh, bull, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's coming in March too.
Yep, a week before April, Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, April we get Game of Thrones season 6. Yeah. Fuck you, George R. R. Martin. We don't need your shit no more. We are leaving you in the dust.
We don't believe in you.
Nope, I don't. I do not think he's going to finish those novels.
No, I think he's going to die first.
Yep, I hope he does. I really do.
Wow.
Damn.
He is my R.A. Salvatore, man.
George R. Martin is a son of a bitch.
Let's do an R.A. Salvatore versus George R. Martin cage match list.
Shit, Martin would never get there. He'd be late to his own funeral.
One author and two authors enter, one author leaves. That's
And then we got Kimmy Schmidt coming back in April as well.
In April as
and
well.
I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So yeah. There is some shit coming.
Lots to watch.
And the new Fuller House.
Yes, Fuller House, yes.
I am so train wreck fascinated by that thing. I'm definitely going to watch at least one episode. I really am.
Did anybody else notice how all the daughters are just like just a ton of cleavage on the stuff they're wearing on that show?
I haven't seen it enough to.
I'm not watching it right, clearly.
Well, I mean, I don't think it started yet. It was just like the little trailer for it or whatever. And the amount of cleavage that those two daughters have is ridiculous.
Now, when you say daughters, is it the original girls that are now grown up?
Yes.
Because I know it's DJ's kids.
Yes, but that's just it. DJ looks like she's still nursing.
Candace Cameron - Bure has always been kind of foxy.
I know, but
so
on this show, I would not think that they would put him in outfits.
This is another 90s like throwback type of scenario.
Yeah,
here.
I'm looking at pictures on Google Images.
I'm looking at tits.
No, I mean, look, not of my own accord here, but no, I'm not gonna lie. I'm enjoying this, but still, it's not what you'd expect, you know.
I'm not enjoying them. I'm doing it for you guys.
This is for science, okay? It was a gift for the family, you bastard. So, yeah, there's definitely more cleavage than one would expect from
the house. On your balcony, and it's definitely a fuller house.
The houses are all full, just very full now.
Wow.
Very full and perky houses all around.
Oh. Wow.
Please title this episode, guys. I'm looking at gave me two back spasms.
I don't think iTunes would appreciate that. Is the only problem.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Pictures on the internet.
If this much laughing is annoying, please cut it out. But I can't stop.
The balcony is fuller.
Nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
God, I'm looking at this.
I did not say that. I said pictures.
Yes.
You put words in my mouth. The internet put those tits in my eyes. People are just putting things into my sensory.
You're a victim.
I'm definitely a victim.
Oh. Wow. Oh.
You're like Kesha. Yeah.
That's very true. 100%. Did y'all wait a second? Speaking of victims, did y'all hear anything? This is maybe like super super West Coasty Bay Area ish stuff. But did y'all hear about this like mega douche bro writing an open letter to the mayor of San Francisco, bitching about the fact that there are homeless people in San Francisco?
Oh yeah, yeah, I heard about this.
Pretty good. I mean, like hard to tell. That's like deep deep in Poe's Law territory. Like it's impossible. to tell whether this guy is trolling or being serious here, but like if he is being serious, good lord, like just kill yourself. But like if he's trolling, fucking bravo, that was perfect. That's, trolling. So yeah. Basically, I'm assuming that he's trolling because otherwise, I don't want to live in this world. But like,
I fear he's not. I think this is
you
the Donald
shut
Trump
your
thing all
you
over
shut
again.
Your mouth.
I just some people are just that fucking disconnected from real life anymore.
I should not have to look at their pain and suffering as I go to work every day.
Man,
oh. That's a meritude right there.
I choose to believe it's a troll as well. That's
let's just assume that and
maintain structural integrity on the society, please. Let's
we're coming apart on reentry here, guys.
I don't know. I continue to be of the opinion that the Academy Awards are all that separate us from the Purge.
Nice. Wow.
That's the night. That's the one night America gets to sit in judgment of the wealthy and the rich. And if we don't have that, that's it. The Purge is going to happen.
It's entirely possible.
Wow. Ariel Rodriguez, thank you for being here.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you again.
Yes.
Any news on the revamped Kung Fu Conversations?
So we're working on a video podcast where we take a look at fight scenes in old Kung Fu movies. But it turns out that puts a copyright nightmare on us on YouTube. So we're trying to figure out what to do because waiting 30 days for that to clear up every episode is not good. So
shitty, yeah.
Yeah. Not sure what we're going to do there yet, but the first episode has cleared copyright finally, copyright check on YouTube, and we'll have it up shortly, hopefully.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. How long is the episode?
It's about 30 minutes, about as long as our old podcast, but there's you know, it's a video content there, so cool. It should be interesting for us to try to get that rolling on a more regular schedule. Fingers crossed. Awesome.
Riyad Wabi of Stanford, California.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. I'll try and be more available in the future. Just you know, still in this cave here. You know?
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
People can follow you at Quantum, spelled KWANTAM, on Twitter.
Yeah, but I don't know why they would want to. They're welcome. They're welcome to though. I mean, look, I'm not going to stop you except with my tweets, which are terrible.
They're not all terrible.
Yeah, sometimes I retweet people. Yeah.
Lastly, from deep in the heart of Texas, Keyshawn Xavier.
Hey, y'all. I'm looking at tits.
So say we all.
May I plug you on Twitter as well?
Absolutely.
Follow Keyshawn at TBONEYNOT on the Twitter.
T-Bone, why not?
T-Bone. Uh-oh. Why not?
I finally got pronunciation on that.
There you go.
Very nice. And I've been Cyrus Mortizavi. You can find me all over the damn place. I suggest starting at risinginproductions.tumblr.com, where you can also leave questions, comments, and concerns. And I understand those concerns this week, if you so desire. This episode and previous episodes of FullOfSoundAndFury.com, our podcast rather, can be listened to at FullOfSoundAndFury.com or via subscription to iTunes and hopefully very soon at SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2016.